This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rose Oconee Historical Society. Norbert Dostal wrote about the changing times on the farm in the 1900s. A copy of the collection of stories is at the Rose Museum. Last week, you would have heard about preparing the farm buildings for the cold ahead, ending with the house and food storage. Today's broadcast is the rest of his story about getting ready for winter. What went into the cellar for winter use would vary with the cook. What went into our cellar? Anytime Ma made pork for the winter, it had about three or four ways of being stored. The one I liked the best was fried and browned pork pieces with hot lard poured over them. Layer after layer was put into the Red Wing earthen crocks, and when she wanted some meat in a hurry, it was just a matter of finding the right amount in the lard and heating it well. Another way was to boil it for a long time in jars and put on a zinc cover with a glass liner over a rubber ring and tighten it so it was air-free. Another way was to cure it in brine, and after a certain length of time soaking, it was removed and hung in the smokehouse with a small fire built on the ground below and some covering to produce smoke from a very low fire. The hams and bacon were sure good when they were brought out of the cellar in the winter. Sometimes canned sauerkraut was saved from last year and used, but it was more common to have a huge crock in a colder place and let it freeze. There were also jars with canned tomatoes and just about anything we liked. Most certainly there were spuds and carrots in the cellar. Straw mattresses had to be washed and filled with clean new straw for the winter. The stoves had to be moved out of the corners in which they'd stood all summer. And the chimney, usually two, had to get cleaned and the proper stovepipes and dampers put up and secured so they wouldn't fall. Below the stoves, it was necessary to put an asbestos-backed sheet of metal to protect the floor from burns. It was usually the plan to have a large pile of split wood in the woodshed, but it wasn't always done. That made winter a hard time if wood wasn't gotten in before the heavy snows. The barn, too, had to have a good going over with mud from the bottom of the ditch, plastered into the places where it had fallen out from between the logs. Lime wasn't used for the barns at our place because mud did the same thing. We kids had the job after we learned how it was done. I even mudded between the logs when I built my rabbit house. The hen house, out of hewed logs, was also mudded with clay. Around these buildings was a banking of manure to help reduce the floor draft. The pump had to be winterized or checked to see that the water would drain out of the hole above the cylinder. That hole had to be below the frost line so that it wouldn't freeze. Generally, the well, when opened in the winter, would have ice on the curbing at least 6 feet down. Water had to be pumped into a tank in the winter so that the cows could drink quickly. That meant that the water had to be kept from freezing. To attain this end, a box was built around the tank and filled with sawdust or whatever was handy as an insulation. And a two-piece cover was made to fit around the tank heater, which was fired with wood, at least enough to keep it from freezing. That meant many things had to be done around the place on time so that the onset of an early winter would not find us unprepared. It was sometimes possible to haul some of the feed so that it would be handy in case of a severe winter. Mangers had to be put into shape so that all the stock could be put into the barn, and some probably had to be sold. It was necessary to have a butchering day for hogs as soon as winter was cold enough so that the quarter meat could be hung from spikes in the granary. It was then used as needed. Sometimes it was noticeable that mice had played around on the frozen quarters. It was also necessary to watch for their presence inside the house. They had a way to get in and hide until they produced more mice, and the younger ones would foolishly whisk around a corner, giving away their secret that they'd been helping themselves. It was time to get the traps baited and promptly reset them whenever they found the bait and were caught by the quick snap of the trap around their necks. One thing about these annoying creatures, they never became extinct. In fact, many a mouse was out of its natural environment, as they happened to be of a different species, like field mice, for instance. Many things and ways of doing things changed as soon as winter set in. We could no longer get along without overshoes and long underwear. We had to be prepared for the call of nature without going down the path to the two-seater, which incidentally had to have its holding hole well below ground level before winter started. Many homes had signs of using the outdoors near the house just before bedtime. Things showed on the snow more than in the summer. It was necessary to have a covered chamber handy for the night. That then became morning chores. Next week, I'll read more of Norbert's story. Thanks to Mr. Dostal for writing down these interesting memories, and thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.